the first time I seen Dwyer, he was playing left half back for Kerry against Down in the 1960 All-Ireland. It was my first All-Ireland, the first year I went to college in Dublin. And it was a great battle between himself and Sean O'Neill. It was a wing half forward at the time. And Dwyer gave him his fillip at that day. Then I was in Canada where I played football in the States, and I did the same there for some time. But then I came back again. And when I started to go back to New York, I started to play with Kerry, although I had previously played with Cavan and Tony Gallup when I went first to New York. Had no team in New York. So I played with Cavan first, and then I played with Kerry. And unfortunately, I played for them in the New York Championship Final 74, and I came home and I got the sack. The people at home. But I would have met him on All-Star trips as well, because I was lucky enough to get on the first All-Star trip. And we played Kerry over there. At that stage, he'd moved up to a corner forward, and a hell of a good corner forward he was. Good score, good taker. And then, of course, I went into management. And in fact, when I was in Sligo in 1975, Dwyer had just taken over as the Kerry team manager. And unfortunately, Sligo met that up and coming Kerry team in the All-Ireland semi-final. And they ran away with the game in the last 10 minutes. And Dwyer made great fame with that Kerry team. They played, Dwyer always said this team's playing good football, Austin. That's one thing I'd say. So this mass defence with them, always reckon the best means of defence was attack. So then, rolling on the years, I got to know him through Tom Conaghan. Tom and him became quite good friends when Tom was in charge of Donegal under 21 on the full Masters team, which won the championship in 82. And Dwyer would have counseled Tom. And they struck up a great friendship. And then, inadvertently, there was the open draw, which came in 84. And we had played them the previous year in a knockout competition in Ballybuffet. But they were cock-a-hoop at the time. And although we gave them good games on each occasion, they had that great forward line that was always Kerry's, Pat Spillane, and those lads, they were super footballers. And he was unfortunate there against Offaly in 1982, and he didn't win five in a row. And Seamus Darby got a late goal. Then I would have met him at Railway Cup level, and thankfully I could get the better of Railway Cup because Ulster was strong at the time. In fact, I remember playing them in the centenary year in Ennis in the semi-final. And Cork had a very good team at the time, and with Kerry, we weren't expected to win, but we turned them over, which was great because I had brother-in-law involved with Dwyer in the management of the Munster team, and that man called Mick Burke, married to my wife's sister. So we always seemed to be crossing paths. And then the year we won the All-Ireland in 92, he had just taken over in Kildare. And I remember that day in Ballybuffet, shaking hands with him in the middle of the field. And I'm back up to the players, and I said, lads, I said, yes, I've had a good time for the last couple of weeks, but I definitely don't want Mick Dwyer and Kildare to come in here to Ballybuffet and beat us. However, we rallied in the last 10 minutes and we won the game, which I was very pleased to do. But just constantly we met, and then we had a mutual friend in the entertainment business called Tony Lockman. He would have managed Philomena Begley and Susan McCann, Tom. And Dwyer had a venue, the same as myself. And we had a mutual friend in Tony Lockman. And then I remember going down to an exhibition game in the Lynch Island for Michael Carlin. I met him up then. I was constantly meeting him, you know. And then you could always meet him around the Burlington. And, you know, I always liked the old Burlington Hotel, so we'd meet there in the lobby and share tea and biscuits. He was like myself, he was a non-drinker. He had a great wife in Mary Carmel. She ran the business when he was playing his trades with first of all, Kildare. And then he went and won a Leicester Championship with Leash, and then he was with Wicklow, and he won a competition with Wicklow. He was a mighty man, where he got the energy. But he loved to drive, that's one. He always kept a big car. He loved to drive. And he was good company. But he was a rogue at heart. He was a rogue at heart. But a likeable rogue. And that persisted on for years. But then in the latter years, we didn't see a lot of each other. and it's unfortunate there in the latter couple of years he got into that bad health and unfortunately passed away.
But he was one of the iconic figures of the Gaelic Games world.
Oh, without doubt, probably one of the greatest. Himself and Kevin Heffernan, they were the two men that reignited the GAA way back in the 70s. The GAA was on his knees that time, and Kerry and Dublin came up at the same time, and they lifted the GAA game and brought crowds back and brought atmosphere to it. And Kerry could always beat Dublin, but at the same time, Dublin topped them a few times there in the 70s, and they beat them three times. One of the most great All-Ireland semi-final in Croke Park. I remember being there with Pádraig McShay, and with about 5 minutes to go, he says, "We'll go home." But Dublin came back and got a late goal and won it. But they were great times. And I tell you what, it was good. If you could always go to the dressing room after the match, All-Ireland final ready, and meet Dwyer, you know, meet the lads. But they were great set of lads, those Kerry footballers that he had. But he'd done a lot for the GAA games, you know, he brought a bit of spark into them, and they brought good football, which was great. Football was marvellous at the time. We had the opportunity, as I said, of meeting them in competition 2 years in a row in 83 and 84 in Donegal. But we were only in Division 3 side, and we done well to give them a very good game. But it'd be a big loss to the Suns.